Our study this morning deals with why submit to the government. And for us here in the United States, we really don't have big problems. You know, we're talking about the government using computers to catch the tax cheats. We're talking about Michigan giving amnesty to help pay off get the cheaters to pay off. Some people don't want to pay their taxes because they say it goes to the military and they're not in accord with that. We have problems like some people don't like seat belts. Some people don't like helmets. You know, these are big items. But in the light of what our brethren in Russia are going through, we don't know what problems are. If the only thing our brethren in Russia had to worry about was if they were going to have to wear seatbelts or not, they would consider themselves so fortunate. They would think all of a sudden they had total freedom. And so as we look at this morning, we need to realize that we really don't know what it is to submit to government when the issues are really strong. And here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 13, Peter talks about why submit to the government. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 13 to 17. I'll be referring again to the booklet a little bit later, but I want us to look at 1 Peter now first. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 to 17. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or to governors as those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using your liberty as a cloak for vice, but as servants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the King. Father, we thank you this morning for your word, and we confess that it is so different from our ways. We confess that even as Christians, we can fall into the trap of walking in violation of your word. We pray that you would teach us this morning in this particular area of submission to civil government the ways in which you would have us to walk. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in this portion of Scripture, Peter gives us a list of reasons why, as Christians, we should submit to civil authorities. The first one is in verse 1, and it's one word, and the word is therefore. Therefore, submit yourselves. Now, if you have the Old King James, you'll say, there is no word therefore. It is in the Greek. I don't know why they didn't put it in. It's in the Greek. And the New King James clarifies it and brings it out. But the word therefore is in the text. And it's very important because therefore means because of what I've already said. Because of what I've already said, says Peter, submit yourselves. What did he already say? Well, going back to verse 12, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Peter says, have an honorable conduct before these ungodly people, so that they might see the way you live. They might see the way you respond to life. They might see your good works. They might see how you obey God, so that when God brings trials into their lives, then they will glorify Him. Having seen your response to God, they then will come under conviction as God brings trials and difficulties into their lives. And so, Peter says, therefore, since God uses our obedience as a means of bringing others to salvation, for that reason, obey. God will use our obedience to speak to others. Obey. Therefore, Wendell Byrd is an attorney, a Christian attorney in our nation. And he wrote, "The public testimony of fundamentalism, the fundamentalist community, is suffering harm from a minority element that follows civil disobedience as the general rule." They say that they are to disobey government unless its command is directly authorized by specific scripture. Mr. Byrd, on the contrary, says we need to follow civil obedience as the general rule, which means to obey the government unless its command is directly contrary to specific scripture. He says these two positions are as different as lawlessness and ordered freedom, as different as error and truth, and we would say as different as day and night. And there are fundamentalist communities that are bringing shame to the name of Jesus Christ because they are following principles of civil disobedience on the basis that they'll only do what's commanded in the Word of God. And they forget that God has commanded us to obey rulers that are over us. And so God uses our obedience as a means to their salvation. And that's why the testimony then is hurt. The testimony of the gospel is harmed. Because as we submit to civil authorities, God uses that submission to their blessing. That's what the cross is. Jesus submitted to the death of the cross. And that very death on the cross became then the source of life, even to those who sent him to the cross. And so also as we submit to civil authorities, God will use that submission as a means of their salvation, of bringing conviction to their hearts. So the first reason that Peter gives for submitting to the government is that God uses our obedience as a means of their salvation. The second reason we submit to government is because God commands it. Therefore, submit yourselves. Now, that's very clear. It is a command, just as clear as the one up above where Peter says, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain. And just as clearly as he says, abstain from fleshly lusts, he also says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. And so it is a command. We are to submit ourselves. We are to submit ourselves to every human ordinance. Now the word here refers to things that men have created, creation common to man, that which men devise as necessary for the common good, that which is applicable then to all of the citizens as necessary for common good. And Jesus gave the example of that. He paid the temple tax, and he paid the temple tax to the very men that later crucified him. He taught that his disciples should give tax tribute to Caesar. He said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. We might say, well, Rome was an ungodly government. Jesus said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. He told his disciples, the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, therefore do whatever they tell you to do. Now don't do what they're doing, but do what they tell you to do. Because there is an authority there, a God-ordained authority. So you obey them, even though they were the ones that, out of envy, crucified him. And so we submit to government because God commands it. Thirdly, we submit to government because it is God's way of protecting us. The word here, submit, means to place oneself under. To place under. And he says, submit yourselves. In other words, put yourselves under. And so God is saying, put yourselves under this special protection that I have given for you. Now, it's true that government may at times become confused as to what's right. Peter says, submit yourselves to the king as supreme, or to governors as those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. Government is to punish evildoers and praise those who do good. You say, well, what happens when they praise evildoers and punish those that do good? They're really not doing that. You see, they are still punishing evildoers and praising those that do good. It's just that they don't understand who the evildoers are. You see, they really are still fulfilling their job, their God-ordained job. It's just that they're confused as to who the good ones are and who the bad ones are. But they are still punishing the bad ones and praising the good ones according to their evaluation of who's good and who's bad. So they're still doing their job. And God says, I will use them to protect you. Now in the book of Acts, this is what happened when they threw Peter in jail. They were just confused as to who the evildoer was. They thought Peter was the evildoer, and he wasn't really. But that's what they thought. And so they were acting according to their responsibility. That's why Peter said, you judge. You judge, and then you do what you need to do. And they came to a decision, and they did what they felt they should do. They came to the wrong decision, as far as who was the evildoer. But they did what they were supposed to do. They put who they thought was the evildoer in prison. And Peter submitted himself to their decision. He didn't fight it. He went to prison. And because he did that, he submitted himself to that authority, even though they were making a mistake. God had all the fun of getting him out of prison. God couldn't have gotten him out of prison if Peter hadn't let them put him in prison. And so God will use these authorities even when they make a mistake. And so God had the glory of getting him out. And Herod became so upset he left town. He had to get away from the conviction that was coming upon him. And so God will use these authorities to protect us. And so God says, submit, because it's my way of protecting you. God used the Roman government to protect Paul. The Jews were going to kill him. But the Roman governor there took Paul prisoner and ultimately sent him to Rome. And he got to Rome where he wanted to go, safe, because he was protected by the authority. Fourthly, why submit to government? Because it pleases the Lord. Verse 13. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. In other words, this is a specific command, not only for our own good, but this is a specific command that God gives us, and we do it for His sake. Now, those who follow this principle of civil disobedience say they're doing it for the Lord's sake. No. Because God here very specifically says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. He says, submit for my sake. Do this for my sake. I recognize this is hard, especially when you can see how wrong they are. They're calling you the bad guy. You're not the bad guy. They're throwing you in prison because they say you're the bad guy. You're not. They made a mistake. God says, submit to every ordinance of man for my sake, because I'm going to use this for my glory. And so we do it for the Lord's sake. I say, this is hard. How are you going to do that? And Peter says, well, can't you do it for the Lord's sake? Do it for Him? Say, I can't do that. Well, maybe you can't do it for yourself. Can you do it for Him? And so Peter says, do it because it's for his sake. And then fifthly, in verse 15, you do it because it's God's will. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. I think every genuine Christian wants to do the will of God. That's one joyous evidence of a reborn soul. He wants to do God's will, whatever it is. And so Peter says, you want to do God's will? Let me tell you what God's will is. This is the will of God, that you submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. This is the will of God. This is the good that I want you to do. And so by doing good with this spirit of submission to God-ordained authority, then God will use your submission. And Peter says, this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. In verse 12, we saw that they may speak against us when they speak against you as evildoers. And so they're speaking against us as evildoers. And Peter says, you don't respond to that. You don't react to that, and you don't try and clarify that, and you don't justify yourself. What you do is you do good, and you demonstrate a submissive spirit, a meek and a quiet spirit. And as you do that, this will silence them. He says that you may put to silence. Same word that's used in Matthew 22:12 regarding the man there that was speechless. Remember the man that was asked, why are you here without a wedding robe? He was left speechless. He couldn't say a thing. It's used in 1 Corinthians 9:9 where Paul talks about you shall not muzzle the mouth of the ox. Same thing. If you will obey God and do His will, and you will submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, then Peter says, that will put a muzzle on them. That will silence them. Here, you are wishing that they would be quiet? That's how you do it. You were wondering how to shut them up? That's how you do it. You put a muzzle on them by doing good, by doing the will of God, by submitting to the ordinance of man. And it says, you will put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. You see, they're ignorant of the real issues. You can see that they don't understand. It's obvious that they're blind to what the real situation is. They're ignorant of the real issues. And they're foolish in that they are pressing their ignorance. They're pushing what they don't know anything about. And so Peter says, by doing this, you will silence the ignorance of foolish men who are pressing what they don't know anything about. Your godly conduct, your meek and quiet spirit will put them to shame. They'll shame them to silence. See, the problem is human flesh enjoys fighting back. We don't like to feel like we're the victim of circumstances and that there's nothing we can do about this. We like to fight back, especially when we're right. We like to push it when we know that we're right. They're wrong and we're right and we know it. And so we like to push it. We like to fight back. We like to fight back for God's sake. We like to fight back for the Lord. Stand up for God. Peter says, rather submit for the Lord's sake, because it's His will. And this will muzzle them. This will silence them. This is God's will. Do you want to do God's will? Here it is. And number 6, Peter says, do it because you are God's servant. Verse 16, as free, yet not using your liberty as a cloak for vice, but as servants of God. You see, in Christ Jesus, we're free. There's a lot of misuse of that idea of, I'm free. What are we free from? We're free from sin. What are we free to? We're free to serve God. And we need to make sure we understand what this freedom really is. And not, as Peter says here, use the spiritual truth of our freedom in Christ to cover up sin, cover up rebellion, cover up an independent spirit. The Jews said, we are children of Abraham and we've never been in bondage to any man. They were using this as an excuse for an independent spirit, to justify their rebellion against God and against God-ordained authority. And so Peter says, we are servants. And the word there is slaves, really. We are slaves of God. And He is responsible for us. You know, one thing nice, a slave might have a lot of things he doesn't like, you know, that he has to do, and he feels perhaps limited in that way. But one advantage a slave has, and that is that his master is responsible for him. And as we are slaves of God, He then is responsible for us. And Peter says, so you're a God servant. And so put yourself under this authority that He has created for your good. And don't use freedom, the idea of freedom, as a cover-up for vice. This is one thing that I noticed this past week in reading the news magazine. It talked about United States citizens who live outside of the country who are avoiding taxes. And by living outside of the United States, it's much easier to avoid paying taxes, and they take advantage of that. And as I read that, I thought of something else. You see, when you live outside of the United States, the first thing you do when you go to that foreign country where you plan on residing for a period of time, is you go to the embassy and you register. Now, as you do that, you place yourself under their protection. And if the situation in that country ever becomes dangerous, the embassy has your name and your address. They will send a car out to pick you up and take you to the airport and put you on a plane to get you out of that country in time so that you will not be harmed. That's kind of nice, isn't it? They'll tell you you can't take anything with you, but they'll take you. And so here's this contrast. So many people outside the United States avoiding taxes, but it's those very taxes that pay to pick them up and take them to the airport. So they're not willing to pay for their own protection. And God says, I have placed over you civil authorities for your protection. So obey them. Do what they say. And so the problem is Christians today, many Christians today are saying that they are not going to obey government because we're not the servants of men. We're the servants of God. And Peter says, the fact you're servants of God is the very reason you ought to obey civil authorities. A while back, in our men's breakfast, as a group of men, we read Francis Schaeffer's book, The Christian Manifesto. Many of us had read books by Schaeffer in previous years and appreciated the things he'd written. But this is one book we did not appreciate and we could not agree with, because in the manifesto he proposes civil disobedience. And this bothered us because we don't believe that that's what the Scriptures teach. And as I looked at this whole topic, I thought, you know, why is God so concerned that we obey government authorities? He says, do this for my sake. This is my will because you are my servants. Why does he say that? Why is he so concerned that we demonstrate a meek and a quiet spirit to the authorities that he's placed over us? And I think the reason is because an independent spirit puts the battle on a human plane. You see, it transfers the battle to men against men. Wherein there's an independent spirit, the battle becomes one man against another man, or the Christian against his human authorities. It becomes a battle of men. And as long as it's a battle of men, God is never going to be seen and glorified. You see, if they fight against us, and we fight against them, and they win over us, or we win over them, which, no matter how it turns out, it's all a matter of we beat them or they beat us. Where's God in all of this? God is left out. And so an independent spirit brings it all right down to a human battle. And God says, I never intended you to have human battles. I intended that you have divine battles. I intended that you allow me to fight your battles for you, that you submit to the authorities that I have made, and then you allow me to battle for you. And so the battle is spiritual. And as we overcome an independent spirit, then God is free to work. God is free to battle. God is free to show His power and His glory. And so that's why God is so concerned that we do not fall into this trap of civil disobedience, because as we follow the biblical pattern of civil obedience, then He is free to show His power. Peter here then sums it up by stressing once again the overall importance of a meek and a quiet spirit. And he says, honor all people. Honor everybody. In other words, have a submissive spirit, a meek and a quiet spirit with everybody. In other words, practice on everybody else. And once you've learned it well with other people, you'll have learned it well for more important situations, more stressful situations. Honor all men. Treat all men with a meek and a quiet spirit. The only way that we can honor God, then, is by honoring men. If we are not honoring men, we ought not to fool ourselves into thinking that we are honoring God. Then he says, love the brotherhood, the body of believers. John says, if any man love not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he's not seen? And so loving submission to the brethren. Learn to demonstrate in love a meek and a quiet spirit to the brethren. Fear God. Now, we don't fear men. We don't submit to men because we fear them. We submit to men because we fear God. Out of fear to God, we honor men. We love the brethren and honor the King as representative of all human authority given for our protection. And so this is God's way of protecting His people by having us get under authority and then allowing Him to work on our behalf. Here in Michigan, we have tornadoes. How many have seen tornadoes? You ever seen one? Yes, many of us have. I was on the back porch of the house when a tornado went by. Picked up the garbage can and rolled it down the driveway. I was glad I didn't pick up the house and roll it down the driveway. I had been down in the basement when the telephone rang, and I foolishly went up to answer the telephone. It was Norma's aunt to tell me to go down the basement. But you know, if you've ever done that, isn't it confining to be down in that basement? Do you enjoy that? I don't. You know, you go down in that basement, it's so confining, it's so limiting. You're down in that basement, you can't go upstairs, and you want to go upstairs. Then they also say, now, if down in the basement you've got some kind of a big table or something like that, something big and heavy, get under that. So you go down the basement. You got an old oak table under there, and you get under that table. That's humbling. Somebody come down there. What are you doing under there? Protection, brother, protection. But it's limiting, confining, and humbling. But it is also protecting. And God says, get under civil authority. You say, but it's limiting my freedom. No, you have freedom to be under that authority. You see, it's confining. Maybe it's even humbling. But remember, it's protecting. It's God's form of protection. And so don't use God as an excuse for an independent spirit, but rather, get under the authority that He has given and see Him, glorify His name, and show His power. And so God says, I want you to submit because it's my will. Do it for my sake. Do it as my servants. And we say, this is hard. And that's why I wanted you to have a copy of the Prisoner's Bulletin. Because in the Prisoner's Bulletin, you'll see that it's not really hard at all here in the United States. And I trust that if you don't do anything else, you'll read the article on pages 6 and 7. God helped me to answer. What a joy to read that article. God helped me to answer. And here's a man that said, I often wondered what I would do when I was brought before the authorities, because I'm not a scholar. I'm not a speaker. I wondered, what would I do? How would I answer? And it's thrilling to read. He said, sometimes I gave answers I didn't even know myself. I said things that I thought of for the first time. Oh, God blessed. And God enabled him to do what the Bible says, to respectfully be under that authority and at the same time give an answer for the faith that he had in Christ. And then the latter part of the booklet, it shows how you can write to believers in Russia. In fact, it even gives Russian phrases there that you can copy out. But he said most of them understand English, are able to read English, so that we can appreciate a little bit about what it really is to be under authority. And that God would use this to encourage us, that we would obey Him in our nation, not fall into the trap that others are falling into. Good fundamentalist brethren are falling into the trap of civil disobedience. May God protect us and preserve us from that, and that we might not get out from under the protection that He's given to us in this way. Father, we thank You this morning that You so clearly warn us of the danger of using our liberty as a cloak for ungodly, independent spirit that delights Satan, because it puts the battle on a human plane, and then it's men against men. And then it's I win over him or he wins over me, rather than on a spiritual plane where God gives the victory and gets the glory. And so we pray that You would teach us in the little things that we suffer in our nation, to learn the lessons before we have to face the bigger things that some of our other brethren are facing in other lands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.